Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de la...
Podcast.
Shining at the end of every day. There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow. And tomorrow's just a dream away. Man has a dream, and that's the start. He follows his dream with mind and heart.
And hello and welcome to another episode of the Por Favor Manténgase Alejado de las Podcast. This is episode number 141, recorded from the DeFont Leroy Studios in Westerly, Rhode Island. I'm your host, Gary, joined by no one this week. As I said last week, Mike's still trying to get his internet situation squared away down there at his new place, and Eugene has not been up to the task of getting things set up. It's funny, I pay Mike so much to be on this podcast, and you know, Eugene went, he's actually getting paid now. He went from an unpaid intern to now being paid, and he can't even get this thing up and operational. It's a little ridiculous. He told me he was trying to get a string long enough to go from my tin can to Mike's. I don't really understand, but I just can't even wrap my head around what could possibly be taking this long to get our secured DSL line set up from the De Fauntleroy Studio Northeast Division to the Southeast Division. It's been a while now, and hopefully we'll all remember what Mike sounds like when he comes back. I'm sure it's hard to forget those dulcet tones of Por Favor Mike. So we will have him back in short order. We're just getting the carrier pigeons squared away and figuring out a way to communicate once again. So that's really the main stumbling block here. But until then, you're stuck with me, and that is probably not a good thing for our listenership and our overall quality of the show. I guess that's for you to decide. But if it was a video cast, I'd be very confident, since I am the better looking of the two of us between Mike and myself. But as far as entertainment value goes, I don't know, Mike kind of has that in spades. He has a natural charisma, if you will, that just not anyone could duplicate. Say what you will about him, but a charisma is probably a good word to describe what he brings to the table. So I'm back in Rhode Island. As you heard last week, I checked in after my flight at the end of that travel log. I hope you guys enjoyed that. I don't know how... obviously, it was a little disjointed, just in and out of different audio clips that I recorded throughout my trip. I did promise some things that I was not able to deliver on audio-wise, but I think the updates were pretty good. I didn't go into a lot of details about what I did, kind of live things, a couple reviews, but I wanted to get more into detail this week on a trip review, so that's what we'll do. But before that, I just want to say, being back home, it's nice to sleep in my bed. Certainly, that's a great aspect of being home, because I feel like the beds at Pop Century are not that comfortable. I like the resort, but the beds, I know Coronado Springs and Caribbean Beach have very comfortable beds. The beds at Pop were pretty uncomfortable, and that's a small part of the review. So being home was nice. The weather, not as nice back here. It was gorgeous down in Orlando when I was there, but now it's getting into that time. I mean, it's almost midway through November, so it's to be expected for sure, but not ready for these cold mid-30 mornings. It's a weird time of year, though, because you get the mornings that are super cold, but then it gets up into the high 50s, low 60s during the day. So I go into work with shorts and a hoodie, and I'm cold, and then by the middle of the day, I'm wearing just a short-sleeve shirt with my shorts, and I'm feeling pretty comfortable at that point. But it is one of those things. That happens for a while, but I try to hold on. I'm a shorts guy, so I try to hold on as long as possible. Last year, made it almost till Christmas. Actually, after Christmas, was pretty warm. This year, I hope to make it to Thanksgiving. Maybe the weather will hold out. We'll have to wait and see how that goes. But as of right now, I'm still holding strong on the shorts. Pants are a little ways down the line, at least. The jeans are still in the closet with the mothballs packed away, with the parkas and the snorkels and those mittens that Mike talks about. I don't remember what they're called anymore. Choppers, maybe? That sounds right. Anyhow, don't have a lot else to say. Not a whole lot new going on. Just getting back into the routine. Just making it through my first full week back from Disney. That's always tough, those first few days. But luckily, I had my beautiful and lovely wife and daughter to come home to, which softens the blow tremendously, because I did go without them on this trip, and I miss them both dearly. And it was nice to come home and see the two of them, except Georgina was sleeping because I didn't get back to the house until after midnight. But that's beside the point. Just in general, getting home to see them was very nice. So that definitely made it a lot easier to leave Walt Disney World, as much as I love it there. I was happy to be home with the family once again. I guess that's about it. I'm going to do my unofficial beer sponsor of the week this week, and it's Samuel Adams Toasted Caramel Bock, which came in their fall sampler pack that I bought a few weeks ago. It says, molasses is the secret to this lager and creates a pleasant sweetness with hints of caramel, brown sugar, vanilla, and maple syrup. The pale and caramel malts merge with Herzbrucker and Saaz hops to create a delightfully toasty flavor in this bock. I like it. It's pretty good. Toasted caramel, can't go wrong with that. It's got that nice flavor profile. It's kind of a halfway point between a lager and a porter or a stout, so it's really good for this time of year before those cold nights come in and you switch over exclusively to the heavier porters and stouts. So that's a good one for this week. Toasted Caramel Bock. Mike will make fun of me when he hears this, but that's okay. I'm happy with this one. It's 5.6% alcohol by volume. So I'll take a sip here and we'll take a break.
All the birds sing words and the flowers croon.
In the tiki 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 room.
Welcome to our tropical hideaway, you lucky people, you. If we weren't in the show starting right away, we'd feed the audience too.
All together in the tiki 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 room. In the tiki 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 room.
All the birds sing words and the flowers croon.
In the tiki 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 room.
I sing so beautiful, I should sing solo.
See, so low we can't hear you.
My voice may not be so marvelous, but my profile is out of this world.
Jawohl, but the trouble is, it's not far enough out of this world. Isn't that right, Herr Schmidt? I see Schmidt has no hair.
Mi amigo, stop the clucking. You sound like a bunch of old hens. There's a lot of birds...
Okay, we are back from break. This is episode number 141 of the Por Favor podcast. And in this week's episode, we are going to do a trip review from my trip at the end of October, beginning of November, to Walt Disney World. I was there for 4 nights, 5 days, stayed at Pop Century Resort, went to the parks all 5 days, and had a really good time, did some food and wine. It's funny because I was there for Halloween, but I was also there for the beginning of the Christmas season at Magic Kingdom. So I guess if you time it right, you can get everything out of the way in 1 week at Walt Disney World. However, we didn't really plan on the Christmas stuff happening. It was kind of a nice surprise, as that's definitely my favorite time of the year. But Halloween, I could take it or leave it. I didn't really have any big hopes or big plans to celebrate Halloween while at Walt Disney World, just so happened to coincide with the trip. It did help a little bit, I believe, as I'll get into in a minute. But we'll go in chronological order with the trip. On Sunday, we flew out of Providence, a.k.a. Warwick, TF Green Airport, and we had an early flight. Got into Orlando, no problems on the flight. Didn't check a bag, so we just had our carry-ons, went right down to the Magical Express. Got in line for that, got on the first bus. We were like the last people on the bus that they let on, so which was really nice. And then we got right to the hotel. No problems there, except they did not text us our room assignment on the way, so we did have to wait at check-in. at Pop Century, which was not a problem. It didn't take too long, maybe 20 minutes. And the room was ready, so we went and dropped our stuff at the room. And it was in the 80s building at the Rubik's Cube, which was kind of a odd spot because you had to walk through the parking lots to get to the lobby and to Everything Pop. So you couldn't really go through the grounds to get there, or it wasn't as easy. You had to walk kind of around everything and go right through the parking lot and go by the bus stops to get there. But it was a short walk to get to those spots. It just wasn't as nice of a walk as it is going through the middle of the resort and being able to check out everything. So that was a little bit of a bummer. But again, it wasn't really about where we were staying. It was more of a place to stay, which is what it ended up being. We didn't spend a lot of time at Pop or in the room for that matter. So that worked out just fine. The room's nice. It was on the third floor. Clean. Like I said, the beds weren't terribly comfortable for me, but I like a firmer mattress. It was a little soft. My hip was hurting a little bit by the second or third night sleeping on that bed. So that always is a little bit of a disappointment when you have an uncomfortable bed, but that's a small, it wasn't so uncomfortable that I couldn't sleep. I certainly slept okay. It just wasn't as comfortable as my bed at home, which none really are. Your bed at home is always your favorite bed anyway, I imagine. Moving right along, we had a reservation at Disney Springs for STK right off the bat. So we didn't go to a park right away. We just went right to Downtown Disney, now known as Disney Springs, and we were able to enjoy that. And this was actually the first time I had been since they changed the name over to Disney Springs and since the town center opened and all that. And it's very different. Where the bus stops are much different. It seems more organized and it looks nicer. I don't know that the bus service is any more efficient or anything like that, but seems a little nicer. We did have to wait quite a while for a bus back to Pop when we were done with our reservation, but we walked through the new areas, and it's nice. There's all the stores that I cannot afford. Just went right by those. Went in the new World of Coke, which is three stories, and it has Coke merchandise that you would never even imagine existed. It's incredible the amount of stuff they throw the Coca-Cola logo onto. I mean, obviously the obvious things like shirts and hats and gloves and magnets and Christmas ornaments and things like that, but they had stationery, they had clocks, they had, I mean, baseballs, basketballs, footballs, soccer balls, they had anything you could imagine, banks. It's incredible the amount of junk that's in there. I mean, it's nice stuff. It's not junky per se, but I guess if you're a Coke collector, that's like your paradise. And some of the stuff was neat and it was nice, but I don't really have a particular affinity towards Coca-Cola. I like it, but I'm not a huge like fan that's obsessed with Coca-Cola, so it didn't appeal to me in that. However, it was really neat. And going all the way up to the third floor, there was a Coca-Cola bar, a soda fountain, and they had different Coke products you could have, and they had ones from around the country, around the world, similar to Club Cool at Epcot, and you could buy a sampler, and they also had a float sampler, so they'd put ice cream in different kinds, like orange, root beer, Coca-Cola, things like that, so that was other things you could get. We didn't try any of that, but the view from up there was tremendous. It's open air on the third floor above everything. You could see a lot of Disney Springs from up top on the World of Coke building, which was really nice. That was probably my favorite aspect of going into that, was being able to see that view. And they do have a meet and greet with the polar bear, which we missed, but they have a character that you can meet and take pictures with, the Coca-Cola polar bear. So that's a cool little picture. I imagine a lot of people will be doing their Christmas pictures with the Coca-Cola polar bear this year, so that would be very interesting to do with little kids. I imagine that's something that you would definitely take advantage of. After that, we walked around a little more, tried to get a lay of the land. It's very confusing now, having not been since they opened all the other parts up of Disney Springs, and there's things that you recognize, and then there's other stuff that's new, and you don't really understand the relations to one another, and you get dropped off in a different spot, so you're kind of backwards from where you're normally used to entering. But once you kind of oriented yourself, you could figure it out. The STK, where we had our lunch reservation, was right in the middle where Morimoto Asia is. I believe it's in just on the cusp of where Pleasure Island used to be, or maybe right at the area of Pleasure Island. I'm not entirely sure. And that was a nice treat to have for lunch. We got the reservations for 1:15. We got there early, and we went up to the hostess and asked if we could get an early seating, which was not a problem. They weren't super crowded at lunch, as most of Disney Springs isn't super crowded at lunchtime anyway. It's more of an evening venue, to say the least. We went there, had a nice lunch, very nice lunch. The interior there is very modern. It's not like the classic steakhouse with wood everywhere and dark colors. It was more light and airy with very simple, sharp features. I liked the interior of it. It was nice. You could definitely have a nice, relaxing meal there, but also not feel like you're back in the early 90s or late 80s at a stereotypical steakhouse. So they kind of upped the game a little bit there. And the food was very good. The menu's nice. Obviously, steak is the main player, as they have some sandwiches, some burgers. You can get chicken or pork. And the appetizers, they have some seafood. But steak is the main attraction, and they have a wide selection of cuts and sizes that you can order. And it's all a la carte. So you order your steak, you get one sauce with it, and there's many different sauces you could choose from. You can get a topping on it, as in like a pepper-crusted steak costs an extra few bucks. You can get truffle butter on top. You can get lobster tail on top of the steak, things like that that you can really plus it up if you choose to, and then you can actually pay extra for more sauces if you want, which I did not do. I ended up getting a 16-ounce sirloin. It was a little overcooked. I think I covered that last week, where I'm pretty sure they just flipped the doneness of mine and my mother's steak, because she ordered hers medium, and it looked a little more medium rare. Mine, I ordered medium rare, and it was definitely a solid medium. I had a couple bites, and I debated on sending it back, but you can't uncook a steak, so I knew they'd have to fire a new one off, and I didn't want to wait and kind of, I don't know, I was just too timid. Maybe I should have sent it back, but I didn't want to upset the apple cart. It was still delicious, don't get me wrong, it just wasn't exactly how I ordered it, but the seasoning they use, which is very simple, is probably just a salt, pepper, maybe a little bit of garlic in there, something like that. It was delicious. It was crispy on the outside, nice and tender on the inside, a nice cut of meat. The sauce, I got the au poivre sauce, which was delicious. We got some sides to share. We had the mac and cheese, which was absolutely fantastic. Maybe the best mac and cheese I've ever had, if not one of the best for sure. And it was excellent. It was rich and had really sharp, distinct cheese flavor to it, obviously. The pasta was cooked perfectly. Just a really nice side of mac and cheese. Because a lot of times you get mac and cheese, and I like hot sauce on things, and mac and cheese just begs for hot sauce. It's like a perfect compliment. A little buffalo, like Frank's Red Hot on mac and cheese, is the absolute perfect combination. But this one didn't need a thing. It was perfect as it was. Delicious. The asparagus, grilled asparagus, thick. It was like as thick as your ring finger. It was incredibly thick, and it was grilled perfect how I like it. Not too soggy, but not too firm. It was like tossed in lemon zest with a little olive oil, salt, and pepper. Perfect. It was very good, the asparagus, which a lot of people don't like on its own. They like a sauce on it, but this one certainly didn't need a heavy sauce to go with it. So that was very good. Got that salad that I was kind of obsessed about when Mike and I reviewed this place initially a few weeks back. That blue cheese wedge salad that had the bacon on top, chunks of blue cheese dressing, and some tomatoes on there, some heirloom tomatoes, and that thing was really good as well. Big, it was a whole head of lettuce cut in half and just doused with this delicious blue cheese dressing. And then to top it off, they throw chunks upon chunks, must have been 4 or 5 ounces of crumbled blue cheese right on top, a ton of bacon, perfectly cooked, nice and crispy, had some good smoky flavor to it, really added a nice element to that salad. I enjoyed that immensely. It was delicious. So the sides really stood out a lot there, and the steaks were excellent too. I would definitely go back. I think if I was going to have a steak another time at Disney Springs, I'd probably try the Boathouse next just to try it. But STK was number one on my list, certainly, and I'm glad I was able to try it. I would go back again, like I said, but the next time I do a steak meal at Disney Springs, it's going to be the Boathouse, so I can compare and contrast. But definitely go to STK if you get the opportunity. It's delicious. And if you're not looking to spend a lot of money and you don't really care about having a steak, go at lunch. They have burgers, and that crispy mahi sandwich that I saw a couple of people order looked really good. They're big portions, and they're not too expensive. $18-$21, I think, for those. So that's a good deal and a good way to go. Get the salad, couple sandwiches. You can be out of there for two people for under $60, probably. As long as you don't get any drinks or anything too fancy there on the side. But the sides were $10 a piece and easily shareable for two people. The mac and cheese could feed two easily as a side. So order that if you go. No matter what else you get that mac and cheese as a side. You will not regret it. I will say that for sure. All right, moving on. After Disney Springs, actually, something I want to mention before we leave Disney Springs. Our plan was to go from Disney Springs to Hollywood Studios. Now, it was before 4 p.m., so there's no direct bus service from Disney Springs to any parks. So I thought it would be a great idea to hop on one of the boats over to either Port Orleans or to Saratoga Springs and just hop a bus from one of those resorts. So we waited at the boat dock, and like three boats all showed up at once. And we asked a couple of the drivers, the captains, if you will, said, well, which boat will be the easiest one to get to any resort so we can take a bus to Hollywood Studios? And they're giving us this whole runaround. Oh, go on this boat. So we go over to the other boat. The other guy's, well, no, you're better on that boat. So we ended up saying, just forget it. I mean, they weren't very helpful. They didn't really understand. And it was definitely frustrating because we had waited and we wanted to just have a nice boat ride and then hop on the bus. Instead, we went back to the bus stop that we got dropped off at, got on the bus for Pop, and then just took a bus to Hollywood Studios from there. So that set us back a little time-wise, but it was okay because we were already ahead of schedule because we moved our lunch up about an hour. So that helped, certainly, in not delaying it too much. Eventually, we got to Hollywood Studios, and I have not been there since they took the big Mickey's Sorcerer Mickey hat down. And I do like that view walking in without the hat there. It's nice being able to see the Chinese theater off in the distance. It fits in a lot more theme-wise when you walk in and see that at the end of the street. That place is still very disjointed, but at least that first initial view is much more... It makes much more sense now with the hat gone. I like the hat on its own, don't get me wrong. It just wasn't in the right spot in that park to be the first thing you see walking in. It just didn't make a lot of sense there. So it's nice without it, I have to admit. The park is nice. There's nothing inherently wrong about it. There's just not a lot to do there with all the construction going on and a lot of things closed down to make way for bigger and better things, as everyone keeps telling me. So we were able to kind of relax a little in that park, and we had some time to kill. We went around and went on the Great Movie Ride, which is good. They didn't really change a whole lot when they did the refurb with the Turner Classic Movies. They just added that narrator, Robert Osborne, who annoyed me. I don't know, maybe I'm alone in that, but I think it made it a lesser of an attraction. It seems cheesy now because you have this obvious pre-recorded narration trying to interact with a live person on your car or whatever, tour bus, whatever they want to call it, that you're riding through these movies on. And it's like cringy. You have to, like, you feel embarrassed for the people working there, the live cast members that have to interact with this dope on his pre-recording, and they try to make it funny and cute, but it just comes off embarrassing. Like, you feel bad for the people. And it was, I mean, not like it was this great attraction before where it is a great attraction, but it's not like the script that the cast members had to do was this great, perfect marvel of attractions or anything, and it wasn't the greatest thing going, but at least it had that element, like, it wasn't scripted, even though you know it was, and it was always the same. If it was your first time going on it, you wouldn't know that all the jokes and the sayings are always exactly the same. But now, even if it's your first time, you hear an obvious pre-recorded narrator coming in and interacting, so you know it's all just predetermined and fake. I just didn't like it. It seemed like a downgrade in that department. I did like him in the queue. I thought that was good, where he was giving some background on the movies that you see as the trailers heading in. And even at the end when he talks, that's not a bad spot. Just during the ride itself, I wish they'd get rid of that part and just let the cast members go back to doing all the narration. That's my gripe with that. So I guess, I don't know, maybe that makes me a curmudgeon. Maybe I'm going over to the dark side with Mike and trying to be a little grumpier, and they keep changing my things and I don't like it. But I think that made it worse for sure, and I hope maybe they're getting good feedback. I might be in the minority, but I think it makes it a lot, it makes the narration a lot less effective, I guess, put it that way. After that, we ended up going over to the Muppets courtyard and checked out Muppet Vision 3D, which is good as always. I love that show. I know it's old and cheesy, but it still holds a place in my heart. I'm a big Muppets fan, and I love it. One thing I have to mention, the pre-show changed a little bit. They added in Constantine from the last Muppets movie, Muppets Most Wanted. They changed some of the props in there, in that area, which was nice. I like seeing some of those changes. And actually, something that I'd never seen before, I don't know if it happens occasionally or all the time now, but Sweetums came out during the pre-show and just started dusting around. It was only 15-20 seconds, but he was out and dusting in the pre-show area as we were waiting to go in to the theater, and that was fun. I'd never seen that before. I don't know if that's new or just it's a random occurrence, and I was lucky enough to see it this time. Other than that, the show's the same, and it still looks good. I mean, a couple things weren't working. The Swedish Chef wasn't working with his cannonballs at the end, which is a little disappointing because that kind of takes away from it a little bit. But half the people don't even know to look up there to see him anyway, so I guess it's not that big of a deal. After that, we went over to Star Tours, had a fast pass for that. Again, I like that attraction. It's not anything that I run to, and if I miss it, I'm not terribly disappointed, but I enjoy it enough as a thrill ride, even not knowing really any context of what's going on in those scenes and any of the significance of it. I just know I always end up underwater with Jar Jar Binks, and I'm pretty sure he's the most hated person ever in Star Wars. I'm not sure, maybe some of my Star Wars nerd listeners can correct me on that or confirm that I'm right, but I always end up in that scene. The first scene, I think, was from the new one, and I only say that because I know it's probably not culturally sensitive, but the black guy from the trailer that was featured in the trailer for the new movie was at the beginning of the scene. So I think that was part of a new scene, but I really don't know. I don't know that from Adam, so I can't really tell you if it was a new scene. But it was fun. I like the effects of that theater, how the seats move around and the 3D effects are good. It's a crisp, sharp show. It's good. And it's a nice little thrill ride, for sure. Even if you don't know anything about Star Wars like me, still enjoyed that. After Star Wars, what did we do? We went over to our Tower of Terror Fast Pass. And again, I haven't been on that in a long time. And I love that ride. It's such a good ride. The randomness of it is great. The queue, the build-up, everything, the story. It's really amazing. I love it. I'm glad I was able to go on that. I mean, it's easy to say from going from a 4-day to a 5-day park pass is like a $10 or $20 difference. So if you're on the border of going from a 4 to a 5, definitely go for the 5 if you have a chance to hit up Hollywood Studios, even if it's only to go on that ride. I think it's worth the $20 for the difference in the 4-day and a 5-day pass just to go on Tower of Terror. At least for me it is. So that makes that decision easy. Even if you can only make it on a travel day for 3 or 4 hours, I mean, that extra $20 is worth it for Hollywood Studios. I wouldn't pay a full day rate to go there. Actually, anyone that pays a single day rate to go to Hollywood Studios should have their head examined, but that's neither here nor there. After the Tower of Terror, what did we do? We got a couple snacks, although I didn't have a snack. My father had the carrot cake cookie, and we each had a nice coffee. And then my mother had some popcorn. And then I decided after my iced coffee to have a Bloody Mary from the Brown Derby Lounge, which was very good, made with pepper vodka. A little expensive, I have to say, because we had other Bloody Marys on the trip between myself and my father. We probably had 4 or 5 Bloody Marys at different places, and that one was the most expensive, and I think it was the smallest. And I don't know if it's because of the vodka or just the location or what it was, but it was still good. I'm not going to dock too many points, but when you can get one for $8.75 from a certain place, and then this one's $11.99, I don't know what the difference is. They're both Disney, so whatever. It was good. I'm not going to complain too much because it was a good Bloody Mary, and it was a good way to end the night because we had that, and we walked into our Fantasmic Fast Pass and watched that show and ended the day with that. Fantasmic, as always, is good. Don't really have to get into that too much. Everyone knows about Fantasmic. Went back to Pop. Didn't have to wait that long for a bus. We actually got pretty lucky that night. We'll get more into that later on about the bus situation, but go right back to Pop, and then we had dinner at Everything Pop at the food court, and I got a buffalo chicken flatbread pizza, which was phenomenal. It was actually one of the best things I ate on the trip, to be honest. I mean, after STK, that flatbread was pretty high up there. I don't know if it was the second best thing, but it was high up there. It was very good. They made it fresh. The chicken was very good. The buffalo sauce was actually somewhat spicy, big chunks of blue cheese on there. It was good. I liked that a lot. I would definitely get that again if I stay at Pop, and I'm sure I will again in the future. If that's a menu option, I'm gonna get that, hands down. It was very good. After that, we kind of had a early night because it was travel day. We'd been up, out and about all day. Went back to the room and kind of vegged out for a little bit and fell asleep. I got up early the next morning on Monday, Halloween, and I decided to... I was going to get to Animal Kingdom first thing, but I was up before 7, so I went over to Art of Animation, walked around that resort, which I had not stepped foot on that area of Disney property. And I liked it a lot, actually. The areas of the rooms were very well themed. They put a lot of effort and work into making those different areas, Cars, Lion King, Little Mermaid, and Finding Nemo, feel different from one another and authentic to the movie itself, which I appreciate that they put a lot of work into it. It does feel like a step up from a value just walking around the grounds, even though it's a pretty much a carbon copy of the layout of Pop Century. It feels so much nicer. I don't know if it's just because it's newer or what have you. I still wouldn't pay those rates that they're getting over there right now, because for what you pay there, you can get a moderate. But it does seem like a little step up from Pop Century. And the food court, however, it was good, what I had for breakfast there, but I wouldn't say it's a huge step up. It's very much the same as Pop Century, at least as far as the food choices, the type of choices you have, and the way it's prepared and everything like that was pretty much the same as Pop. But I did only go for breakfast, so that could be swaying my opinion slightly. Breakfast is a little less... there's less options at breakfast in general. So that could be the reason for that. I did have breakfast there, like I said, waffles with bacon, which is good. That was a safe choice. There was nothing really that jumped out at me otherwise, so I just went with the easy option there. I like the gift shop there. Very nice. They have a lot of unique merchandise, and they do feature the four movies a lot more at those gift shops, which is nice. Kind of keep it all themed together. The lobby itself was very overwhelming. The way they have those bright lights with all the different colors, I don't know if I could spend a lot of time in there, because it was a very different experience. It almost would start giving you a headache if you spent a lot of time in there. I don't know. Like I said, the grounds were great, and I did enjoy just that little walk over there. Got to Animal Kingdom at Rope Drop, before Rope Drop, I should say. Went in and got another Bloody Mary before park opening at Rainforest Cafe, which was the best one I had on the trip. So Rainforest Cafe at the Animal Kingdom entrance, that Bloody Mary, excellent. It was $10. Can't beat it. Only problem with it, not that it was a problem, is you cannot take it into the park. You have to drink it at the Rainforest Cafe. So I did... I had enough time to finish it before heading into the park, which was good. And I did that, walked in, saw the opening show with the birds flying in and out, and then walked around in the Harambe section for a little bit, made my way over to Asia, went on Everest early on, got right on, enjoyed the ride, walked in through Dinoland, just kind of made a big grand circle around the park, and then just took in a few sights, went on a couple of the animal trails, different ones that are kind of strewn about here and there, and finally met up with my parents when they arrived at the park, and we did the Festival of the Lion King show, which was very good. We had lunch at Flame Tree Barbecue, which was pretty good. I was a little disappointed in the ribs. The ribs are usually excellent there, but they were dry. I don't know if it was because it was an end piece, and those are usually a little thinner, less meat, so it may have dried out a little bit. But the pulled pork was very good. I liked that a lot. The chicken was good as well. The onion rings, we had some of those. The baked beans are good. So overall, pretty good at Flame Tree. So after Flame Tree, we went over, and my parents did Flights of Wonder, which I don't do. I don't like birds. I have a FOB, fear of birds. And I skipped that and went over to the Dawa Bar and had a sugarcane mojito, which was very, very refreshing and very good. Watched some of the bands over there. Buridika was playing, and just enjoyed my time over in Harambe. Met up with my parents after their Flights of Wonder show. Went to our Everest Fast Pass, and then actually went over to the safari because it was a short wait. So we went on the safari, 10-minute wait. After that, we went to the Nomad Lounge at Tiffin's, the new signature restaurant at Animal Kingdom. And the lounge is incredible there at Tiffin's, the Nomad Lounge. There's a nice porch overlooking the water. And actually, when they open the Pandora section, it's going to be really nice because it kind of overlooks that area of the park where the Avatar Land is going to be. But even as is, it's fine if you can ignore some of the construction equipment. But just the waterway was peaceful. It was quiet. There weren't a lot of people. There were really comfortable couches overlooking the water. The menu there, besides just the drinks and the food, the menu itself is incredible. It's like a bound book, and it has these sketches of the drinks with the descriptions, and it also has pictures and travel notes from Imagineers on their trips to Asia and Africa when they were researching building Animal Kingdom. So that was neat. Very in-depth look into that, and the menu went above and beyond what it has to fit the theming. I like that a lot. Had a Lamu libation there, which was a fruity drink. That was excellent. That drink was so good. Had some really good drinks at Animal Kingdom. I have to say, Epcot gets a reputation for the place to have some drinks, but Animal Kingdom, they stepped up their game between that Bloody Mary at Rainforest, the Dawa Bar, which is always good, and then the Nomad Lounge. There's a lot of good places to get a cocktail at Animal Kingdom right now. And there's also that new bar, which is escaping, the name's escaping me right now, where the Expedition Everest Fast Pass kiosk used to be. That's pretty popular as well. It has good beer selection and some mixed drinks there as well. Yeah, so that's really Animal Kingdom. You can definitely have some fun at Animal Kingdom if you're looking to have a few drinks. So that's a Por Favor tip. After Nomad Lounge, we had some time before our dinner reservation. So we walked around, looked at the Tree of Life up close and personal. We did do Bug's Life show. I think that was early on. We went on a Bug's Life. So I was able to do that. And like I said, we looked at the Tree of Life, walked around, had our Tusker House dinner reservation, which was pretty good. I had a bad experience with Tusker House on our honeymoon with my wife and I. We went there for our first meal for lunch, and we were not impressed. The buffet wasn't that crowded, so the food seemed a little stale. It wasn't all that warm. There wasn't a lot of good selection. This time around, though, for dinner, I think now that it's a character dinner, or because it's a character, I don't know if it just changed. I can't remember. I know breakfast has always been character, and I think lunch and dinner is newer is as a character buffet. So it's more popular now, and that probably has something to do with the turnover of the food, but the carving station was good. They had salmon and this pork shoulder, which was excellent, with a nice mustard sauce. They had rice and potatoes and carrots and curries and a lot of good choices. The curry was actually excellent. The green curry was very good. I had a couple servings of that. Like I said, that pork shoulder was good. The roasted carrots were very good. The rice with pigeon peas was good. I'm trying to remember anything else unique I may have had. But the desserts there, oh, those were really good. They weren't like necessarily exotic desserts, as some of the options at the buffet were more exotic, like the curries. But the desserts were very good. I had this pecan bar, which was basically like a magic bar. It's like coconut, pecan, chocolate, with a little crust underneath. That was excellent. That was a very good dessert. So happy with those choices there. It was a good meal. Definitely did not leave hungry, that's for sure. By the time we got out of our dinner reservation, it was just starting to get dark, so we were trying to do some of those after dark experiences at Animal Kingdom that are new and unique. And we saw some of the performances in Harambe, went around to Discovery Island, caught the end of a show there. Hung out at the Tree of Life waiting for the Awakening, which was excellent. The technology they use there is incredibly mind-blowing. I don't know how they're able to do those projections on the Tree of Life so realistically. It looks like the tree literally moves as the carvings in the tree come to life. And the fact that they can make it look like the carvings are coming out of the tree and moving around or moving ahead or slithering along, it's just incredible. And the shows itself, they were pretty good, the longer shows, but just staring at the tree and waiting for an animal to move its head or whatever was a really fun aspect. After that, we had a chance to run over to Everest after dark, which was really, really good. it was actually incredible at night. That adds a lot of different elements to that ride. On the ascent, you can see out to Epcot and Hollywood Studios very clearly, and at night when it's all lit up, it looks really good. Going through the inside portions of the ride, where they're normally pretty dark, when it's dark outside, they're incredibly dark, almost like Space Mountain dark, so it adds a lot. You think about how fast you go, how fast you feel like you're going on Space Mountain because you're in the dark. Well, you're actually going very fast on Everest, and then when you're in the dark, it feels even faster. It was a very good ride at night. The Safari, on the other hand, not as great at night. Wasn't a whole lot to see. It would have been nice if the hyenas were active, but they were kind of lounging around. I know they say the lions are a lot more active at night, but they weren't really doing too much. You could see them a little bit, but they were still just lying around. It was hard to see a lot of the animals, and it was still neat being out there at night, but it wasn't anything I would rush back to go and see. I guess your mileage may vary. If you go and the lions are out roaring and you're going to think it was the greatest thing ever, which if they had done that when I was on it, I'd be talking about how awesome it was and how it's a must-do if you're at Animal Kingdom at night. So I would try it if you haven't, but your experiences may not be what you're expecting, which was kind of how I felt. So that was pretty much it for Animal Kingdom, headed back to Pop again. Not that it was an early night, but we hung out a little bit at Everything Pop. We got a couple drinks. We had sodas after we got back. We were just hanging out. Didn't have anything to eat. We were still full from our dinner reservation at that point. Got up early again the next day for Epcot. This was November 1st now. And did Food and Wine at Epcot. Got there early, right at Rope Drop once again. This one had magic hours till 11 p.m., so from 9 to 11 it was open late. And that was another long day. Got there from open to close, a bare Rope Drop to close pretty much. And it was fun being at Epcot on a low crowd day. I was able to try a lot of different things around Food and Wine. I was able to do all the rides that I wanted to. Got the new Soarin', which I liked. I didn't love. I liked the old one better. Got to do the new Frozen ride, which I did love. I actually liked it a lot. I don't know, love might not be the word, but it's a good ride. Still, you can say what you want if you think it fits in World Showcase, which I don't think it does, but it's there. And it's going to be there for a while. So don't not go on it out of spite or some grand gesture that you want to make. Just ride it and take it in for what it is. It's a good dark ride with really good animatronics, and the soundtrack is good. There's some really good moments in that. I don't want to spoil too much of it. But it's a very good ride. I'd go on that again, definitely. I wouldn't wait over 45 minutes for it, but I would go on it again. I was able to do Test Track, did Impressions de France, did O Canada, did Imagination, did Living with the Land, Mission Space, Spaceship Earth. Was able to do a lot of Epcot. I'm not going to go into the Food and Wine stuff because I want to save that for another episode, do a Food and Wine review. Go through my passport and talk about all the things I tried and what I thought of them. Was able to go in Rose and Crown in the pub for the first time. I've eaten there, but I hadn't gone in the pub, and that's a really fun atmosphere with a piano playing, people just sitting around having a pint or two, talking and laughing, and really fun atmosphere. So if you haven't got a chance to do that, go for that in there. It's really fun. Saw Illuminations. I watched it from the bridge in between the craft beer, which was the Wonders of Life Pavilion, and over towards the entrance to World Showcase, that little bridge. There's some benches there, and it's a pretty good view. You couldn't see the globe, but you could see all the fireworks. You could still hear the music, and there's no one around. So that was a nice different vantage point for Illuminations. I like that. It's obviously better to be up close because you can see everything, but Usually you kind of get boxed out of a good spot at Illuminations anyway, or at least I do. And just being able to sit down and relax and take it in was a nice change of pace for me. After Illuminations, everything in World Showcase closed. All the restaurants, all the kiosks, they closed down. Even though the park was staying open for 2 hours, they didn't really keep the food and wine booths open, which I was a little disappointed in. But I have to say I was pretty full at that point, so I wasn't probably going to hit too many more for a snack anyway. But I just figured they would have stayed open. They did not. A little bit of a disappointment, but that's okay. After the park closed, we ended up doing Test Track. No, that's not true, because we did that the next time. Did Soarin' again, to try it out. Still, like I said, I liked it better, the old version, but it's a good ride. Don't get me wrong, I would go on it every time I'm in Epcot if the waits aren't too long. Just kind of walked around, did a few different things, let the crowds kind of thin out a little bit. Ended up going on Spaceship Earth on the way out, and then saw a bus line that I had never experienced at any Disney park, where I actually had to wait for 4 buses to come before we could get into the front of the line for Pop Century after leaving Epcot. It was pretty incredible, especially considering the crowds were so light there. So that was a weird situation. It didn't take too long because the buses were coming pretty frequently, but just the fact that there were so many people in front of you waiting, it was kind of, after a long day where you just wanted to get back and relax, it kind of stunk to have to wait in that long line. But we made it through, got back to the hotel, and crashed out. The next day we had a breakfast reservation at Trail's End, and was able to go over there for the first time. That was really good. I enjoyed that breakfast. Not the best breakfast buffet I had. That still goes to Sanaa. Is it Sanaa? No. Oh, no, I'm blanking on the name of the buffet at Animal Kingdom Lodge. I'll think of it at some point. Can't believe I can't remember it. That's still my favorite buffet that I've been to at Walt Disney for breakfast. But it was very good, especially for the price, because it's probably the cheapest one on property, and it was very good. They had a bread pudding with this pecan walnut maple syrup that was good. They had fried chicken there, pulled pork eggs benedict. I tried, did not like. The eggs were, like, the yolk was almost solidified. With an eggs benedict, with a poached egg, you want it to be very runny, and it was probably just sitting under the heat lamp for too long, and it just started solidifying the yolk, so that wasn't very good. They had meatloaf, which I tried a little bit. That was a little dry, but it was still good. Still a good flavor. Plenty of good options over there. Lots to eat, and enjoyed it a lot. And had some of that jungle juice, or whatever they call it, moonshine that they serve, which is a mixed fruit juice. That was very good. Coffee, all that jazz. A good breakfast, a nice solid base for the day at Magic Kingdom. Got over to the Magic Kingdom and had a Space Mountain Fast Pass, which always enjoy Space Mountain. Then we just kind of walked around a little bit. Tried to get into the Hall of Presidents. Actually, the group got split up. There was 7 of us at that point. And a few people went into Hall of Presidents, tried to catch up with the other half of the group, and they just closed the show. So we kind of hung out over there at Liberty Square and waited for the Muppet show to start at above the Hall of Presidents, and was able to watch that, caught that one. Very good show. I like that. That's the kind of thing I could sit around and wait and watch the different shows they have for that, certainly. So I did enjoy that. It looks pretty good. I don't even know how they do it, if it's animatronics. Obviously, I don't think there's puppeteers up there, but either way, however they did it, it looks very good, and it looks like they're being performed live by puppeteers, and maybe they are. I could be wrong, but I don't think they would be doing that on a daily basis, certainly. Guess I'll have to look into that. Good show. After that, we did Splash Mountain, always fun, one of my favorites. Then what do we do? Jungle Cruise, which actually was the Jingle Cruise. As I mentioned, Magic Kingdom went from Halloween to Christmas in 2 days. And when we got there on Wednesday, November 2nd, it was all Christmased out. There was wreaths up, there was snowmen, everything. It was all sorts of Christmas. They didn't have the giant Christmas tree yet. That wasn't up. But pretty much everything else was decked to the nines for the holidays. The music playing, they had the Main Street Orchestra playing Christmas music. Everything was Christmassy, and Elsa and the Frozen thing for the castle started that night. So it was holiday time at the Magic Kingdom, and much to my surprise, and it was a good surprise, the Jungle Cruise was transformed into the Jingle Cruise, and I got to go on that, and I enjoyed that. Just a nice little overlay. They didn't go overboard with it. The jokes are still corny. They're just a little different, which is nice. I like that they were able to change it up just enough to keep it fresh and different, stay true to the original, and still have a fun time with it. Really enjoyed it. And we had a good skipper. I don't remember her name, but she was very good, very funny, and added her little own, her own little twists to some of the jokes, which I thought were very funny. What else did we do? After that, Mike and I went to Columbia Harbor House and got a little quick snack. I had some clam chowder. Mike had fish and chips. And then we went to Tomorrowland, did the People Mover and the Carousel of Progress, two of the best attractions around. Went over. After that, actually, Mike headed over to the Grand Floridian because he just wanted to walk around and relax over there for a little bit. I went into Adventureland and rode on Pirates of the Caribbean, which was very good. I love pirates. Always have. Everything. I mean, you know all these things. They were all very good. I was excited about the Jingle Cruise, like I said. That was really one of the main differences in that new Muppet show that I liked. Went over after that to Grand Floridian. We had a dinner reservation at Grand Floridian Cafe. Went over there for dinner. I had the Surf and Turf Burger, which is no longer on the menu. You kind of have to make it yourself. You order the burger, then add lobster to it. That was very good. Had the onion soup as an appetizer. Also very good. Halfway through dinner, I started not feeling good. I don't know if I was dehydrated or I had like sun stress, heat stress, whatever it was. And I could only eat about half the burger and I wasn't feeling too great. But it was a very good burger. Mike actually took home the leftovers, so we'll have to get a report on what he thought of the leftovers for that burger. Because I thought the half that I ate was excellent. I just couldn't eat anymore. I was starting to feel not so great, which I wasn't happy about because I was looking forward to that meal. After that, I went back into the Magic Kingdom after dinner and headed over to meet Ariel for my daughter, Yergina. That's her favorite. She loves The Little Mermaid. So I went over, took a little video of The Little Mermaid and some pictures. Went on the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. We had a fast pass for that. Sat in the back seat, which was fun. Did Haunted Mansion on the way out. We were actually the last two people on Haunted Mansion because it was right at 9 o'clock when the park was closing. We got on to Haunted Mansion. A cast member went on the next Doom Buggy after us and stayed on after we got off. So they probably just do one last check through of the ride. So that was kind of cool being the last people on the Haunted Mansion. Left the park, got on the bus back to the resort, and then I watched the World Series down at the Petals Pool Bar at Pop Century with a lot of other people watching the game. It was Game 7 of the World Series, and actually, very strange, as most of you probably know, how the World Series ended, but the game went into extra innings, and there was a rain delay right at midnight, which was the posted closing hours of the Petals Pool Bar. However, there were probably 30 to 50 people congregating around the pool bar watching the TVs, and right at midnight, they just closed down the bar, brought down the shades, turned off the TVs, and everyone was just kind of standing there in disbelief that they just turned it off. Like, you would think if they had to stop serving alcohol, I understand. But the fact that they just closed the shutters and turned the TVs off right at midnight, that was kind of disappointing. So we ended up listening to the rest of it on Mike's phone on a broadcast feed. It was delayed, so we kind of missed out on the end of the game. But that was okay, because we had a Por Favor meetup with Mike Schaefer. That was fun. He was hanging out with us, listening to the game and watching the game. So we had a good time with that. I got to sleep on the floor that night because Mike stayed over and I gave him the bed because he's my elder, so had to give him that. The next day, went to Epcot, got there around 11, I would say. Had a couple fast passes, but didn't really need to utilize them. Did test track with a fast pass, actually, so that was good. Watched that Muppets Lab, the Muppets Mobile Lab. Had a few more bites to eat at the Food and Wine. Just kind of relaxed. It took it all in. We were heading back to the Magical Express. We had to be back at the resort by 5:30. So we left around 4:30 from Epcot. Last ride of the trip was Spaceship Earth, a good way to end it. And then we headed back, got back to Pop, got on the Magical Express, MCO, and back to Rhode Island, and that's where I am now. But it was a very good trip. Enjoyed all of it. Had some good food. Had a lot of good times, obviously. And looking forward to the next time I get to go back, which I don't know when that will be. But I said that in January when I returned and I was able to go back the same year. So who knows when it will be. Probably not that soon because I have another child on the way coming in February, and then it'll be quite a while after that, I imagine, but you never know. Crazier things have happened. I guess that's going to do it for this episode. I should probably take our second break here and come back and quickly wrap things up. So we'll be right back.
This is Skipper Albert AWOL, the voice of the jungle, broadcasting on the DBC to all points unknown. If you're within the sound of my voice, you're listening to AWOL Airwaves on the DBC. And now, here's today's river tip from Skipper Bill of the Congo Connie. Bill says, if it rains in the jungle, who cares? That's why they call it a rainforest. Thanks, Bill.
Okay, we are back from break. I don't know why I keep saying we, because I am here by myself. I am back from break. You just got through listening to episode 141 of the Por Favor podcast. I went over my latest trip to Walt Disney World, did a quick trip review, kind of gave the big highlights and some of my thoughts on what went on over the course of my stay at Pop Century and in the Disney parks. Had a good trip, like I said. Can't wait to go back and don't know when that will be. But that's okay. It's always going to be there for me waiting, and I'll be excited whenever that next trip comes along. And in the meantime, I will live vicariously through Mike and other people who are down at Walt Disney World, and that's really all I can do until then. I don't really have anything else to add. I've been talking a lot. When you're the only one talking, to go for over an hour, that's quite the task. And hopefully I didn't bore the heck out of all you people out there listening. But thank you very much for doing so, for listening to this week's episode. You can always find us at www.porfavorpodcast.com, Twitter and Facebook at Por Favor Podcast. Email the show info@porfavorpodcast.com. You can email me, Gary@porfavorpodcast.com. Go to our YouTube page, youtube.com/porfavorpodcast. iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere podcasts are sold. You can find us and email Mike, did I say that? Mike@porfavorpodcast.com, and he is @porfavormike on Twitter. That's going to do it for episode number 141 of the Por Favor Mantengase a la Jaro de las podcast. My name is Gary. Thank you so much for listening, and have a great day.
Beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow, and tomorrow's just a dream away. Man has a dream, and that's the start. He follows his dream with mind and heart. And when it becomes a reality, it's a dream come true for you and me. So there's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow, just a dream away.
The start. He follows his dream with mind and heart. And when it becomes a reality, it's a dream come true for you and me. So there's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow, just a dream away.
There's a great big
beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow,
and tomorrow's just a dream away. Man has a dream, and that's the start. He follows his dream with mind and heart. And when it becomes a reality, it's a dream come true for you and me. So there's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow, just a dream away.